Feels good. Love you. God bless you, brother. God be with you. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Good to be with you this morning. We would ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to gather and the opportunity to lift up our voices in songs and praise and thanksgiving. And we thank him for the prayer he laid on our dear brother's heart this morning. You know, sometimes we feel short in our efforts to serve the Lord and to praise him. But sometimes in our shortness, God's children are blessed. And that is what it's all about. Not necessarily how we feel, but the Lord has glorified himself in the midst of all. So pray for me, pray for one another. As we've gathered today, that the Lord of glory would just simply have his way with us. You may have heard me say that quite frequently. But for me, those are not just idle words. I truly, as I stand before you, desire the Lord just have his way, whatever that might be.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not about how I feel as to how I've done. But it's all about what's pleasing to the Lord we serve. If you have your Bibles this morning, Scripture tells us that many are the afflictions of God's people, but he does deliver us from them all. And God's children have always lived in a time where there's been trouble all around. We today may think that our trouble is greater than our brethren of old. But trouble is trouble. The joyous thing for God's children is that God is faithful and true. He's already told you they're going to be troubled. So trouble should not come as a surprise. He tells you, and I guess it's in Job, man, one of the women, but a few days before the troubles. Sometimes we're duped or fooled into thinking, well, that's not really true. And that probably is our biggest mistake, because it is true. But what do we do as God's little children when we have troubles? I would venture that to say that as many people as we have in here, we have an equal number of responses to that trouble. We all seemingly have our own way of dealing with things, and I'm here to tell you that my way of dealing with it is not the right way. There's only one right way for God's little children to deal with things. So as I was reading, one of my One piece of scripture that has always been dear to my heart is how God blessed this little child to handle his troubles. So, 2 Kings, if you have your Bibles, chapter 19. Well, you may say, well, he wasn't really a little child. He was a king. Well, yeah, he was a little lamb. He was a little lamb of God. And I will tell you that, I don't know about for you, but for me, this little lamb faced trouble far beyond anything that I could understand, far beyond anything I could ever experience. But yet in him, I truly feel that God gives us an example as a little lamb in this time world that how we ought to respond and how we are to react in our time of need. And to remember that we always are in a time of need. It's not just when we think we need it, but we always are. Now, chapter 19 of Hezekiah, just to give you some background. In 18, we see where the king of Assyria sent a messenger to Jerusalem, to God's people. And in that messenger, he blasphemed the Lord our God. But per Hezekiah's instructions, his people did not respond to that. So in 19 it says, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he set Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble, and a rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. You see, Hezekiah's initial response was to send word to the prophet of God. You and I have a different one to go to. You know, in Hebrew, we read that in times of old, God spoke to his children through the prophets. But now, he speaks to us through his son. So, what we see here with Hezekiah, what he did was in his time, he went to the Lord by sending word to the prophet. He was taking that which he understood that he could not handle himself, but he knew that if there was a deliverance for him, it had to come from above. When I say that Hezekiah is an example for us, my prayer is that we too understand that if a deliverance is to come, it's coming from the Lord. Now Jesus told us, he tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us to come unto him. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, to take my yoke upon you. You see, when you're yoked up with him, he carries that burden for you. So, the message comes back. I'm not going to read all of this. It's too much to read. But the message comes back from the prophet in verse 6. And then Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me.
Yeah, yeah.
So you understand, brethren, that the king of Assyria has basically told God's children, don't trust in you, God. I've defeated gods all over.
Yeah.
Don't believe Hezekiah, but submit yourselves unto me, and I will be good to you. But yet Hezekiah understood, as I trust that we understand, there is but one God who reigneth supremely in the heavens above and the earth below. And that God is the only one that has power over all of his creation. He has power to deliver. He has power, brethren, to fight that battle for his children as they journey in this land.
Amen.
You see, the battle was the Lord's.
Right.
Hezekiah understood that. When we find ourselves in that spiritual warfare, all times that are, I think we don't really understand that the battle is the Lord's. I mean, we read in, I think, the Roman letter that the, if God be for you, who can be against you? I don't think we truly comprehend that all times when we find ourselves in trouble. When we're in trouble, sometimes we oddly feel that maybe God is not for us. Well, that's just another way the adversary tries to deceive you. God is always for those that he loves. In Scripture, he describes them oft times as the righteous. Well, you may say, well, I'm not righteous. Well, I would say, yes, you are.
Yeah.
Not in and of yourself.
Correct.
But we are made righteous through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when God looks upon you, dear ones, he looks at you as being righteous in his eyes. And Scripture tells us that he hears the prayers of the righteous. He sees the difficulties of the righteous. And no matter how frequent or how often those difficulties might be, how often or how seldom those afflictions might be, for God's righteous. Scripture says, I think it's in Psalm 34, 36, that he doth deliver them from each one. You see, God has already told us in his word that he's going to deliver them. So fret not. Fret not about those things that we don't understand. Fret not about those things that we have no perception of. No understanding of. You may look upon it and think that you know what it is and you might understand what it is. But oftentimes, brethren, I'm here to bear witness that oftentimes our perceptions are all wrong. We don't really have a clue as to what stands before us. We don't even have a clue as to what's going on. I know that it gives us some kind of natural comfort to think that we understand that we're on top of things and, you know, we got a handle on things. But in reality, you don't.
No, you don't.
I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
Burst
but
your bubble.
Bottom line, burst your bubble. But the bottom line is, We don't. We don't have, in most instances, we don't even have a clue. Sister Gladys would come to me and says, "What's wrong with you? Why are you acting the way you do?" And sometimes, I don't even have a clue. I don't even know what's wrong with me, let alone trying to figure out what's going on with everybody else or what's going on with all the other things that come in our lives. But we serve a God who does. Well, you see, the king of Assyria didn't just stop there. He's determined. He's determined to beat up this little country and take control of it. You see, because he don't understand. The king of Assyria does not understand who he is dealing with. He doesn't understand that the very air that he breathes is being provided by the God that he thinks he can destroy.
Yeah.
That's how foolish he is. Right. But you know what? That's how foolish we can be. You see, we see ourselves in both pictures here. We see ourselves acting like this foolish king. We also, from time to time, are blessed to see ourselves crying out like Hezekiah did. Well, the king keeps on, so now he sends you a letter. And in verse 14, we read, it says, "Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord."
That was a good thing to do.
Wasn't it?
Amen.
But you see, in that example, brethren, we as God's children need to remember that what Hezekiah did was the only thing to do. It wasn't just a good thing to do. And for us, as little lambs of God, that is the only thing that we should do. Take it to the mercy seat. Take it to the throne of grace. Take it to the Lord our God, who is able to deliver us from whatever it might be, whatever trouble it might be that happens to come our way. So Hezekiah did that, and he prayed in verse 15. "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth." God knows that. But you see what Hezekiah did? Hezekiah acknowledged that before the Lord his God. And sometimes it kind of reminds me of, you remember, I think it was a little leopard, I think, that came to the Lord in Gospels. And he wanted the Lord to heal him. Now, what that little leopard did was very interesting. He acknowledged. He said, "I know that thou canst, if thou wilt." You see, that little leopard had no doubt whatsoever of the power of the Lord to redeem him. And what Hezekiah is saying here is that regardless of what this king might have said about you, I am acknowledging that you are the only Lord our God. You are the creator of this world and all that therein is. You see, brethren, when we acknowledge who God is, it provides for us, it strengthens us, strengthens our faith, strengthens our understanding. It's not that God needs to be reminded of who he is. It's that we need to be reminded who he is. And Hezekiah does that. And he says here, he says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear.
Yeah, there you go.
He acknowledges the greatness of the Lord our God. He knows that God dwells in the heavens above, but he also realized that God is everywhere, present and over and absent. So he's saying, look, God, I know that I might be small of all of your creation on this earth, but I plead that thou might bow down and hear this humble prayer. And to understand that I need thee. And to understand that I am surrounded, there is trouble in the land, and I'm not unable to deliver myself. And if deliverance is to come, it's going to come by thy hand. So he's asking the Lord to hear his prayer. And he says here that, open thine eyes and see and hear the words of, I can never get that word right, Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. You see, the king of Assyria was ignorant in his understanding of who God was. Because he has been dwelling with or battling with heathens who had carved out gods in their own image. In fact, his own god that he worshipped was one of those very gods. What he didn't understand was likened to, if you think about in the epistles, when Paul was in Athens and he saw this statue or monument was dedicated to the unknown god. You see, they didn't know who that was until Paul was blessed to share with them.
Amen.
Who he was. The king of Assyria worshiped idols. The nations all around him worship idols. Now, scripture doesn't tell, but I guess the question would be, was he foolish enough to think that Israel worshiping idols too? Because obviously he felt that he was stronger than their God.
Yeah.
And a fool would have to think that he's stronger than their God who created the world.
Amen.
So the king of Assyria's experience has been with those idols. But you see, Hezekiah is doing one other thing here. He is acknowledging before the Lord our God that there is but one God.
Amen.
There's not multiple gods.
Nope.
There is but one God that we serve, brethren. And that God is the God who created this world, who created us. Scripture bids us to remember that it is God who has created us and not we ourselves. And that is what Hezekiah is acknowledging here. And again, he's not trying to tell God that something that God doesn't know.
Sure.
But he's acknowledging him in all of his ways.
Amen.
As we ought to do. As we journey, brethren. To acknowledge who he is. You know, sometimes I fall short in that as I journey in this life. I know who He is. But when trouble comes, do I take time to acknowledge who He is? I mean, it's interesting here. Hezekiah is talking to God. He's not telling anybody else about who his God is. But he is acknowledging before God that he understands who God is. That he created the world. That he is the only true God. And also acknowledge that anything that anybody else might worship is a God of their own imagination. A God that they have made with their own hands in likeness to them, to their sinful selves. Not that they understand that they're sinful, but he's acknowledging that. And in verse 19 he says, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Hezekiah is saying here, do this not for our sake. But do this so the world might understand whom it is that we serve. Amen. That the world might understand that there is a God who reigns supremely over all of his creation. You remember when the Lord was in the garden? And his prayer says, "If it be thy will that this cup would pass, but not my will, but thy will be done." In our prayers, brethren, as we acknowledge who God is, our prayer should also utter those words. It ain't about what I want. It ain't about what you want. And it doesn't matter the ain't in the vocabulary.
Expresses the point.
More than expresses.
There you go.
But not my will. But thy will be done.
Amen.
And you don't have to raise your hands like they would do if this is an Arminian church, we tell you to raise your hand. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. How many times have we prayed, and when we got to the end of that prayer, we knew we should say, "Be it not our will," but we wouldn't? Because we want it our way. Now, you don't have to raise your hands. But it's just something to think about. I know I could. I know I could. But it's just something to think about. That God's way is always the right way.
Amen.
And the best way for us.
Amen.
And somehow we think that this little thing here is so important to me or you that I don't want to give it up. So I'm not going to say, "If it's not thy will, I'm just going to say I want it and leave it there. You know, in other words, I want it so bad I'm not going to mess it up by saying, be it not my will, you know. But what we don't realize, brethren, we don't realize that God knows all. He knows what you're asking for. He also is able to see if what you're asking for is going to bring you trouble down the road.
Sure.
We can't see that. All we think about is right now, this minute. But God sees all. And when He does not give us what we think we want, is because He realizes that it could be a detriment to you or to me. That kind of wisdom we don't possess. But God does.
Amen.
So it is important to follow that example that the Lord Jesus Himself laid on the way to the cross, brethren. That be it not His will, but that the Father's will would be done. I don't know how people always like to play that possibility. Well, what if Jesus didn't go to the cross? Well, if He didn't, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, we wouldn't.
And we would be without hope.
Right.
But the truth of the matter, He did go. And we do have hope. Hope of life eternal. Verse 20. You notice the difference here, okay? In the earlier messenger, I just think it's important to see this. In the earlier message that Hezekiah got, he sent his elders to the prophet. In this letter, he took it to the Lord. And what happened? As the words were uttered out of his mouth, word came. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Shinarab, the king of Assyria, I have heard. You see what happened there?
Good news is.
Yeah, but you see what happened?
Sure.
Hezekiah prays and he gets an answer. Now when you get home, if you read chapter 20, read chapter 20 when you get home. It's a sweet chapter. You see how in times of old, yes, the Lord used prophets. But you also see that the Lord heard the prayers of the righteous at that time. And then He answered those prayers. Today, He won't necessarily send you a prophet. He says, hey, Brother Gary, I heard your prayer. But through His Son, He will speak to your heart. The Spirit He will speak to you. That He has heard your prayer. And here He says, I have heard. And He says, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? So let's jump over to verse 32, where Hezekiah is told in plain, simple language what's going to happen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. That was the answer from God concerning Hezekiah's prayer. The king hath threatened the people of God that you can't trust your God. You can't depend on your God. I'm going to defeat you just like I did all the other kings. But the message from God was, you're not even going to enter this city, because I will defend it for my glory and for my praise and for my servant's sake. I will defend that city. Don't you think he will defend your city as well?
Amen.
This is the same God, brethren, that we have gathered together to worship this day.
Amen.
The same God who answered Hezekiah's prayer in such a distinctive and definite way. That Hezekiah understood that all would be well. And he goes on here just so that we know what happened.
Yeah.
It said, it came to pass that night, you see, the night that the king of Assyria had planned to go into the city the next day. So and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyria 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. God sent an angel and destroyed the entire army of the king of Assyria. Now, don't you think God can handle your little problem or my little problem?
Amen.
Huh? Amen. No, be real. When we get all up, you know, we get all up in arms about our little problems, brother, remember what God, who God is and what he's able to do. Did not the Lord tell those who had him? He says, if I would call upon my Father, he could send 12 legions. This is one angel. Can you imagine what 12 legions can do?
Amen.
You see, brethren, Hezekiah understood a lot that we don't seem to grasp. Is that the Lord will battle for us. So the king of Assyria departed and went and returned home and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping, just as the Lord had said in those earlier verses that I didn't read, that as he was worshiping in his house, his God, that his two sons came and smote him, killed him. And his other son began to reign in his stead. God does not play.
Amen.
When he says he will do, he will do.
Amen.
You know, brethren, I have always thought of King Hezekiah as a story that we have here. Not just a story, it's an actual event, but it's a good example for us as God's children. When we think that we have problems, you probably do. It's not a figment of your imagination. God already said you're going to have a lot of problems. But when they come, remember the examples that God gives us on how we ought to behave and to react to those troubles. Remembering that if it had not been the Lord who's on our side, we would be overwhelmed in this world. But remember that he is on your side.
Amen.
Not because of anything you do, but because he has deemed you to be righteous in his eyes by the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you think about the good news of the gospel, that we have been redeemed to the Father by the blood of the Son, and that while we journey here, we have that hope of glory, which is Christ Jesus our Lord, that one sweet day, we will be wafted from this old clay tabernacle into the presence of the Lord. But there's other good news. While you journey here, there's good news for you. When Jesus declared that I will be with you always, even throughout the end of time, he will be with you just like God was with our brother in times of old to deliver you in your time of need. He is that rock that is higher than we. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be his name.
Amen. He's just the same today, whatever that number is. Thank you. Thank the Lord.